The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Bob Burney Live.
Looking at today's news through a biblical worldview.
I should have had this story earlier in the program when I was talking about McAllister College in St. Paul, Minnesota. A campus organization polled students, and the overwhelming majority of the students said, no, we should not celebrate Thanksgiving. No, it's racist. Thanksgiving is based on the murder, the slaughter of innocent indigenous people. Well, the indoctrination begins before university. Here is a story from the Federalist. Headline: What Kids in Portland Public Schools Learn About Thanksgiving, War Crimes, and Racism. Now, most of you know Oregon is, it's the left, I guess. You know, what it is about the West Coast, the left coast. Washington, Oregon, California have gone crazy far to the left. I mean, just crazy far. Oregon is kind of the birthplace of Antifa or Antifa. I've seen it pronounced both. A really, really far left organization. We are constantly seeing articles about what's being taught in the public schools in Washington and in Oregon. Well, this story is about Portland, Oregon. Listen to this, and I quote from the story. While many still think of Thanksgiving as a time to come together with family and friends to celebrate our multicultural heritage over a festive meal, eighth graders in Portland, Oregon have the notion drummed into them that Thanksgiving really is a celebration of the genocide of Indians by greedy capitalist Europeans. The district celebration of Native American Heritage Month in November is intended to, in the words of the National Congress of American Indians, celebrate rich and diverse cultures, traditions, and histories, and to acknowledge the important contributions of Native people, as well as to educate the general public about tribes, to raise a general awareness about the unique challenges Native people have faced both historically and in the present, and the ways in which tribal citizens have worked to conquer these challenges. Today in Portland, all eighth graders are assigned Howard Zinn's A Young People's History of the United States. Now, if you're not familiar with this book, it's a simplified version of the A People's History of the United States, which is just unbelievably far, far, far left. So every eighth grader in the Portland schools are given this book as their textbook, A Young People's History of the United States. It's far left. It's Marxist. In the book, Zinn describes the Arawaks, which is a tribe of Indians, that Christopher Columbus encountered in the Bahamas. Zinn, in this book, describes the Arawaks as, and I'm quoting, being like the Indians on the American mainland. All believed in hospitality and sharing. But Christopher Columbus was hungry for money. So as soon as he arrived in the islands, he seized some Arawaks by force so that he could get information from them, namely to answer the question, where is the gold? As a result, the Europeans enslaved, tortured, and executed the Arawaks to extinction. That's what eighth graders are being taught in Portland public schools. Listen to this. Again, I'm quoting from his book, given to every eighth grader. The Arawaks, like the Indians on the American mainland, all believed in hospitality and sharing. Really? What about the intertribal wars? What about the facts that American Indians enslaved other American Indians? What about the fact that these intertribal conflicts caused the death of countless numbers of American Indians as they fought with each other? But according to this textbook, all American Indians believed in hospitality and sharing. Columbus Landing was the start of the history of the Europeans in the Americas. It was a history of conquest, slavery, and death. This is the mantra of the far, far liberal left. And this is what kids are being taught in public schools. And again, folks, my plea is always for balance and objectivity. I think it's important to teach students in our schools the atrocities that were committed against American Indians. And there were many of them. But there were also many wonderful stories of the cooperation between the Americans, the early American settlers, and the Indians. So while we teach and are open about atrocities committed to the American Indians, it should also be taught that many of the American Indians were not peace-loving, wonderful, sharing people. They were savages who killed each other and enslaved each other. Hey, folks, listen. Slavery was prevalent on the North American continent long before any Europeans came here, because the so-called Native Americans enslaved each other. That should be taught in the schools as well in order to be objective. Objectivity is not one of the virtues of the liberal left. All right, let's go to Jim in Upper Arlington, Ohio. Jim, you're on Bobberty Live. Welcome. Thanks for calling.
Hey, Pastor Bob. Thanks for sharing that news that you were. You're familiar with William Federer, correct?
Oh, yeah. He's a good friend.
Yeah, absolutely. And so he has at least a four-disc DVD set out. They're each in their own container, but I've been watching these recently. I ordered them from Upper Arlington Library, and they got them, and they're in, and they're circulating as well.
You're kidding. And, wait. No, stop. Time out. You're kidding. The Upper Arlington Library allowed you to order them, and they're circulating them?
Yeah. Yes, and the name of the series is called Miracles in America.
Yeah.
And it is breathtaking.
That is wonderful.
Just not to hear of the personal sacrifice of all these people from our past, those that are known and those that were unknown, just masses of people that are just unknown that sacrificed so much for our freedom, our liberty, our Christian heritage, if you will, our religious freedom, and it's just spellbinding to listen to all of these things on this Miracles in America DVD set. It's really, it really throws that Zinn stuff out.
Yeah,
out the door.
Hey, I would recommend it. Have you ever seen Bill in person?
No.
He is mesmerizing because he can go for 2 or 3 hours without a single note going through the Christian history of America, Europe. I mean, he is spellbinding when he speaks. He is absolutely spellbinding. And the DVD series I would recommend highly. Again, the name of it is what?
Miracles in America.
Well, get it,
or
folks.
Miracles in American History.
All know, right.
It's worth.
Well,
it's worth
I am
it.
Delighted to hear that the Upper Arlington Library ordered it and is actually distributing it. That's wonderful.
And anybody can get it from the Arlington Library. Anybody.
Good for you, Jim. Thanks. I appreciate the call.
Thank you.
All right. God bless you. And I mean it. Anything by Bill Federer is solid gold. And anytime you have an opportunity to hear Bill Federer in person, go. He is jaw-dropping. I mean, seriously. He is spellbinding when he speaks. All right. We're going to take the final break of the hour. And then we'll wrap things up when we come back. My number, 877-BOB-LIVE.
Talk radio that makes a difference.
Makes a difference.
This is Bob Burney Live.
Can you imagine being in prison for 36 years for something you didn't do? Well, evidently, that's the case of three men in Maryland who were released from prison yesterday. Alfred Chestnut, Ransom Watkins, and Andrew Stewart were convicted back in 1984 and sentenced to life in prison for the killing of a 14-year-old teenager. They were arrested, tried, convicted, and sentenced to life in prison for this for the 14-year-old teenager. And they've been in prison for 36 years. I would imagine through the years they have appealed their conviction on numerous occasions. But I'm reading from the story. The case was reopened earlier this year by the office of Baltimore City State's Attorney Marilyn Mosby after Chestnut, one of the men, sent a letter to the Conviction Integrity Unit. The Washington Post reported Chestnut included exculpatory evidence he uncovered last year. Prosecutors now say police reports show multiple witnesses told police that the suspect, who was 18 at the time of the crime, was the shooter. One student saw him flee the scene and dump a gun as police arrived at Harlem Park Junior High School, but authorities at the time focused their investigation on the trio. The new suspect was shot to death in 2002. Okay. Everyone involved in the case, school officials, police, prosecutors, jurors, the media, and the community rushed to judgment, allow their tunnel vision to obscure obvious problems with the evidence, and so on and so forth. Anyway, these three men are free after 36 years in prison. I don't know anything about them personally, but I just hope and pray that God did something in them. I have a good friend, Ron Tiarina, who's been on this program. He and his wife founded the Ridge Project up in Northwest Ohio. Ron was sent to prison for 15 years for something that he did not do. Before he went to prison, he was doing drugs. He was doing different stuff. He was not a very good person. In prison, he accepted Christ as Savior. He led his wife to Christ in the waiting room of the prison. And after serving 15 years in prison for something he did not do, he came out as just an on-fire Christian soldier. And they have founded the Ridge Project, and God is doing incredible things through this ministry. And if you ask Ron T. Arena, would he trade any of it? I know he would say the best thing that ever happened to him was prison, because it's there that he found Christ. It was there that he began studying the Bible. It was there that he became the father to his sons that he was not when he was outside of prison. So what a terrible thing, though, for these three men. The judge, the prosecutor there in Maryland, dropped the charges. The circuit court judge said, quote, on behalf of the criminal justice system, and I'm sure this means very little to you gentlemen, but I am going to apologize. Circuit Court Judge Charles Peters told the men, it's going to be very, they just got out yesterday. They were teenagers when they went to prison. It's been 36 years. So they have spent the majority of their life behind bars. It's going to be very difficult for them to readjust to culture and to society. I hope you'll pray for them. Alfred Chestnut, Ransom Watkins, and Andrew Stewart. And I just pray that God will do something gracious. I love the story of Joseph. Joseph was put in prison wrongly, sold into slavery by his brothers. And yet, when he had an opportunity to confront his brothers, he said, "You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good." What a great lesson for all of us. Folks, listen, we live in an evil world, and people will do bad things to you, bad things to me. You and I are not going to get off this planet without people doing bad, wrong things to us. It's part of living in this world. But we serve a sovereign God, and he loves to make good things out of the bad things that happen to us. All right, thanks so much for joining me. Pray about giving to the Salvation Army. Please do that. I hope you have a great evening, but please, please remember whose you are.
Listen. Think. Discern.